You pray for us tonight. The book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 3 tonight, the Word of God said, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail." Now, as we notice in these scriptures tonight, of course, the Word of God said, if these things, if these qualities be in you, and he goes back and he looks in verse number 3 and 4 and talks about these things that pertain to life and godliness, talks about those exceeding great and precious promises of God. So if these qualities be in you, and then he says beside this, or add to that, and he gives those lists of things in verse 5, 6, and 7, and he says that if these things be in you, that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word barren in that place means to be idle or slow or ineffective in growth. And both of them have to do with being fruitful unto the Lord. And you understand that Jesus said in John 15 that without me you can do nothing. So we're dependent upon him, and we should look to him and allow the Holy Ghost of God to purge us so that we can bring forth much fruit for the glory of God. But then he said in our text that without these things that are mentioned in those few verses, that without these things that you are blind and that you have forgotten that he was purged from his own old sins. And I say tonight that if we forget what God has done for us, how sad that would be tonight. And that there would be no excitement in our heart and in our life that we could share with others. We're to be that light and we're to be that witness. But if we have forgotten what God has done, forgotten about those blessings, then how can we share those things with others? And we find that God has been speaking to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 7 there, that the scripture says, "What nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" So he reminds them of his goodness, and he reminds them of his nearness to them. And then he says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So it was a warning to the nation of Israel that they not forget the mighty works of God and that relationship that they did enjoy with Him and the Word of God that He has given them. Can I say that America has forgotten God? That as a nation tonight, we're moving farther and farther away from God. And therefore, this once mighty nation has been slated for judgment because it has forgotten God. Listen, the Word of God said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And then we find that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, they mourn. Listen, we need to take care tonight that we as a church and we as God's children do not forget the mighty blessings and the grace of God. My goodness, that we not forget just how good that God has been to us. The psalmist said, Psalm 50 in verse 22, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. So I want you to pray for us for a few minutes, and I want to preach on this thought tonight, some things that I don't want to forget. First of all, I don't want to forget where God found me. Listen, in Luke 15 and 4, the Bible said, what man of you having an hundred sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he found it. I don't want to forget the fact of where that God found me. Not just simply the fact that he found me, but I don't want to forget where he found me. Where I was when he came searching for me. That's not so that I could boast about it. That's not because I want to go back where I was, but I want to be mindful of the power and the grace of God. I want to remember, listen, what a sinner that I was. And now that he reached down in that miry clay and that he brought me out, that when I was in the clutches of Satan, that he came where I was. Thank God it reminds me of how that man over there in Mark chapter number 5, that demoniac, listen, that made his living among the tombs. He was over there where the dead was buried. But listen, you understand that Jesus came where he was. Thank God that Jesus didn't sit and wait on the man to come to him because the man didn't know to come to him. What about that woman over there in John chapter 4 that Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria? Why, there was a divine appointment that was to take place, and that he went to where she was. I'm glad, thank God, on March the 21st, 1971, that God came to the Bearwater Baptist Church in an old-fashioned revival meeting, and he saved me by his grace. That he came to where I was, and I'm glad that he didn't leave me like he found me. Hey, thank God. I don't want to forget where God found me. I don't want to forget what God has done for me. I'm glad he didn't leave me in sin tonight.
Amen.
I don't want to forget. It's like the songwriter said, I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore. Oh, that was me. I was far from God. You say, how sinful could you be at 9 years old? I was lost enough that if I'd have died, I'd have went to hell. Listen, thank God. I'm glad that God doesn't look for age. Thank God. I'm glad it doesn't matter with God. That when God speaks to the heart, that's when it's time to get saved. It doesn't matter 9 or 99. It is the dealing of the Holy Ghost of God. It is that call and that conviction nation that makes the difference.
Amen.
Just like Israel in the past, they were slaves to a great taskmaster. They were drowning in a cesspool of sin with no hope of escape. And God said, do not forget. Take care and take heed that you do not forget. Let me tell you something, child of God, tonight. Do not forget where God found you. Listen, if you've got to remind yourself every day. Listen, you may have been a little child like I was. God may have come and got you off a bar stool like he did some of them. Listen, makes no difference. Might have found you in a crack house. Thank God, I'm glad the grace of God is enough. That it doesn't matter where you've been or where you're going. I'm glad God's grace is enough. I don't want to forget where he found me. But not only that, tonight I don't want to forget what happened at Calvary. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 33 said, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. But that's not the whole story. Oh no. I mean, listen, there's very little mention in that verse tonight. And sometimes you look at these artist renderings of the cross of Christ, yeah, and you see a serene look with his head bowed and a little spot of blood on each hand and his feet and a little spot of blood on his head. That's not a correct depiction of Calvary. Oh no, listen. And I don't want to forget what happened at Calvary. Listen, it was a place of intense suffering. The psalmist described it somewhat over there in the Psalm chapter 22, when he talked about them bulls of Bashan that had beset him round. He talked about that his tongue would cleave to his teeth. Talked about the bones being out of joint. You talk about sad and you talk about painful and you talk about misery. The word of God said his visage was marred more than any man, that he was not even recognizable as a human being. Listen, I don't want to forget Calvary because he did it all for me.
Amen.
I read about a church down in Florida. Must have been an Easter program, but they had a cross set up. And on that cross, they tried to depict as near as they could what it was like for Christ to be on the cross of Calvary. Of course, we know that you can't get it accurately. Because for one thing, he that knew no sin became sin for us. And you can't depict that. But they would allow folks to get up on this cross without driving nails in their hands or their feet. Just the fact of being up on this cross. And there was this world-class athlete. And you know something about those. I mean, they're fit as they can be. Fit as fit can be. And he allowed himself to be put on this cross. And after just a minute or two, he begged to be taken back down because he could not handle what was taking place in his body. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for 6 long agonizing hours. Thank God. And he was suffering that because of me and because of you, that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Hey, thank God, he was looking down through the portals of time, looking down through the ages, and he saw that little 9-year-old boy at the Bearwater Baptist Church going to hell and needing to be saved. I don't want to forget about Calvary.
Amen.
It's a place of intense suffering. I don't want to forget what he did. It's a place of suffering, but it's also a place of the shed blood. Hebrews 9 and 22 said, and all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I'm glad that Calvary's a place of the shed blood.
Amen.
Oh, listen, this world tries to ridicule our, and I hate to use the word religion, but our salvation. and our mode of worship, and the fact that they called it a bloody religion. But I can tell you this tonight, that without the shedding of blood there is no remission. And if they try to get to heaven any other way beside the blood of Jesus Christ, they're going to fall way, way, way short. They'll never make it to heaven without the blood. Still takes the blood. Thank God, I'm glad he gave his life for me. He was my sacrifice to allow me to come before God. As the songwriter said, nothing in my hands I bring, only to the cross I cling. Thank God, it still takes the blood. The world rejects it. Religion denies it. There's a lot of folks that ridicule it. But thank God, without it, there'd be no salvation. Thank God. I mean, I think about over in Leviticus chapter 1, at the giving of the burnt offering, when the offerer would bring their offering that was to be slain, and the offerer would take and put his hand upon the head of the offering, and he identified with that was about to die, and his sins was imputed to that lamb. And the lamb died, and the blood covered his sin. Hey, thank God. I'm glad Jesus identified with me. I'm glad, thank God, that he thought about me. I'm glad tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't want to forget Calvary, because it's a place of the shed blood. But Calvary is also a place of unmatched love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. John 3:16 sums up the whole 66 books of the Word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I like the song, Love Lifted Me. Isn't that what David said over there in Psalm 40? I waited patient for the Lord. He heard my cry, and he inclined unto me. And he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a solid rock. On that solid foundation, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear him. Let me tell you something about David in that pit. And in those verses, you understand, we can go over there and read it just so you know that I quoted 99% right. But when David was in that pit, what he is saying, he didn't say that I reached up and he reached down. He didn't say I tried to climb up and got as far as I could get and then he got me the rest of the way. He didn't say me and the Lord worked it out and I was able to get out. He said he brought me out. Thank God it wasn't anything that David did. There was nothing David could do. David was in a helpless situation, down in the bottom of that well. Listen, there may have been no water in it, but it was still muddy down there, and it would just pull and pull and pull on him. And there was nothing that David could do to get out of that pit. But God came along. I was lost in sin. Sin had its clutches in me. And the harder that I tried to get out of it, the deeper I began to sink. But then one day Jesus passed by my way. And he heard my cry. And he inclined unto me. Thank God he leaned toward, that's what he's saying. He leaned down in that pit. Thank God. And he reached down and he brought me up. By the mighty power of God. It was his wondrous hand. It was his wondrous work. Not anything that I've done. Not anything that you've done. But for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. He did the works. Thank God. It's a place, unmatched love. There's a brother in our church stood up last month sometime sits in the back on the left side from up there, left side. He stood up and he said, "I just want to thank God." He said, 25 years ago tonight, I went up to that altar and God saved me.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember the night well.
Yeah.
Thank God I was back in the back shaking hands as folks was leaving. The service was over.
Yeah.
And I was shaking hands and he walked by and I was reached out and grabbed his hand. I said, "Don't you think it's about time you trusted the Lord?" He never said a word. He just turned around and he made his way back to the altar and he fell in there and stayed a pretty good while. But after a while he got it figured out. That all he had to do was trust God. You know what he said? He said, "I have never felt love like this before." Thank God. And I challenge that he'll never feel that kind of love from anybody else, anywhere else, because there's nothing compares to the love of God.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Woo. Hallelujah. There's another young man. Matter of fact, the man that said never felt love like that, he's got a daughter. She's married now. About 10 years ago, she was dating this other boy in high school. And the first time he come in the church house, you've heard the power handshake. Well, he gave it to me that night. About 18 years old, he grabbed my hand, he just squeezed, and I could see the look of evil in his eyes. And that was his way of telling me, "I'm just here because of her. I don't want what you got. I don't want what she's got. I'm just here because of her."
Yeah.
And he stayed that way for a long time. Then God got dealing with his heart.
Yeah.
We just kept praying for him. He just kept coming. One night it broke loose and he run into that altar and he stayed in there about 30 minutes and finally he come up there shouting and praising the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, listen, he finally gave his testimony, told how good God was and what God had done for him, how God saved him. We shook hands in fellowship and most everybody went back to the house and we were still standing up there and he went back over there and fell in the altar again. He said, "I had so much fun the first time. I thought I'd just come back and meet with God." He said, "God loved me so much when he saved me. He said, I just wanted to enjoy it some more." Hey, I'm talking about thank God. I don't want to forget Calvary because of the unmatched love of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He told me about going to a church and visiting a church months before that he ever come to ours. He said, when I got there, he said, "That preacher, he preached on me." I said, "Thank God."
Yeah.
Now this is after he got saved. He's telling me this. He said, "I went there and he said, that preacher just picked on me. He just preached." He said, "That's what I thought."
Yes.
Well, a couple of weeks later, I got a call. Brother Larry Russell called me to come up to Fundamental to preach for him the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Some of the church went up and I walked in. That young man was sitting over there and he come running over there. He said, "That's that preacher." He said, "That's that preacher treated me like that." But you understand that everything was different now. He loved that preacher because God put a love in his heart. It makes a difference. He's glad to be there that time. He's glad. Oh, listen, let me tell you something, young folks. I run into folk. There was a man come to my house one Sunday afternoon. Knocked on my door. He's been in my study. This has been a few years back. He said, "My car's out of gas." He said, "Could I get you to take me and get me some gas, a couple dollars worth of gas?" Said, "My wife and my child is in the car so that we can get home." I happened to have my gas can out in the garage, had gas in it already. I said, "Come on, let's go." We got in the truck and I headed down there and he started talking. He said, "My daddy don't love me." He said, "My mama don't love me." He said, "There ain't nobody loves me." I said, "You better hang on just a minute." I said, "Mama may not love you, daddy may not love you, but I'm going to tell you the Lord Jesus loves you." Can I tell you something, not especially you young folks, young man, young lady that's in this place? You know what's happening in this world? I mean, when I was a boy and even several years ago, you'd talk about 50, 60, 70 year olds, they'd try to talk to them and they'd tell you everything that they'd done. They'd been too mean, they'd been too wicked. They say, "God can't save somebody like me." You know who's saying that now? 12, 14, 15 year old kids. They've done everything that you can imagine. No wonder that suicide, I seen yesterday, suicide, the second leading cause of death among teenagers. Because they've done everything. They've been everywhere. They've been involved in everything. Mm-hmm. Lord only knows what they're having to deal with at home or at school or anywhere else. God only knows what they feel and what they have to deal with. And they feel that they've got no hope. They feel that they've got no reason for living. They feel like there's no reason to go on. Let me tell you something tonight. Thank God there's every reason. And thank God Jesus is the one. There's no need you sitting in this place tonight feeling like there's no hope. There's no reason for you to sit in this place tonight and feel like you're unloved and nobody cares about you and nobody wants you. I want you to know tonight that God in heaven loves you, and that is evidenced at the cross of Calvary. Thank God when Jesus gave his life. And if you give God half a chance, he'll show you and he'll do something for you. Thank God for that unmatched love. Somebody maybe ought to jump up right now and come on down this way and meet God. Realize that love. Experience that love. Don't you sit back there and grieve the Holy Ghost of God. Don't you sit back there and feel sorry for yourself. Don't you sit back there and convince yourself that there's no hope. There is hope. And his name is Jesus. I don't want to forget about Calvary, but I also don't want to forget how much he loves me. That Calvary, how much he loves the sinner. This is how much he loves me. I'm saved. I'm glad that his love doesn't diminish after you get saved. You understand the word of God says that God is love. And that when God loves you, and he always does, that God loves you with everything he has and everything that he is. Can I tell you tonight that God could not love me any more than he does right now?
Amen.
And that right now that he doesn't love me any more than he did when he saved me.
Amen.
And that he doesn't love me any more than he did before I got saved. God still loves me the same.
Unmatched.
I mean, that's pretty good. Romans 8 said, there's nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Over in Luke chapter, let me find it. Luke 22, verse number 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Jesus looked on Peter. Now you remember, the Lord told Peter, said, before this the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice.
Right.
And Peter denied him. And now we find the Lord looked on Peter. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you tonight, my daddy used to have a look. And it said, when I get a hold of you, I don't believe that was the look that Jesus gave Peter. It was not a look of disgust.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't a look of hatred. Jesus already knew what Peter was going to do. He'd already told Peter. It was a look of concern. It was a look of compassion. It was that look of love. There's no doubt in my mind tonight that it was that look. Remember, I told you last night about the only time I ever back talked my mother, and it was just that look. It was just that look of hurt, and it was a look that said, as much as I love you, and as much as I've done for you, and as much as I've given you, and you're going to act that way toward me. Don't you imagine that might have been the kind of look that Jesus gave Peter?
Oh boy.
Peter, I love you, and you're going to treat me that way. I mean, what about that? I don't want to forget how much he loves me.
Amen.
I don't want to forget. I mean, I've caused him grief. I know that. And you have too.
Yes.
That's that Adam nature. Listen, my children, they've made mistakes. They've failed. They may have done some things that I may not be able to support or defend, but I still love them. They're still my children. Can I tell you tonight that God's love is greater? No matter how many times that I have failed, that I've made a mess of things, and it's been a lot. No matter how many times that I've wrecked things, he still loves me. I do not want to forget how much he loves me. It just makes me want to praise him and please him that much more. I don't want to forget how much he loves me. And then I don't want to forget Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank God it won't be long. I guess the saying is we're living on borrowed time, but all time belongs to the Lord. He'll come when He's ready. But the Word of God tells us to be ye also ready, for in such a hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Yeah, be ready.
Yeah.
There's just a feeling in the air. I don't know how any other way to describe it. There's just a feeling. I know we're walking by faith and not by sight. We don't live by feelings and emotions. But such a great event as the coming of the Lord, there's just a feeling in the
right.
air.
Amen.
I heard one brother describe it this way, talking about that trumpet sound and we'll be called. He said that he just kind of believed you can have it or not. I'm just telling you what he said. Kind of made sense to me. He said just one instant before that trumpet sound, that child of God that's looking for the Lord, just an instant before the trumpet, be looking. Be looking. Because the Holy Ghost of God, be a stirring. I don't want to forget that Jesus is coming soon. The Word of God said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So I don't want to forget that Jesus is coming soon. So that I can keep myself pure, so I can keep myself ready for Him. And then I don't want to forget to shout.
Amen.
Paul said in Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I don't want to forget to rejoice. I don't want to forget to shout a little bit. Holler amen. Be thankful. Glorify God.
Yes.
If these things be in you, and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I don't want to forget. God's been so good to me.
Amen.
If I were to drop dead right this instant, God's been good to me.
Yes.
Word of God said that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
His goodness does.
I mean, when you consider His grace, His mercy, His love, and His goodness. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble.
Amen.
Isn't that what the Word of God says?
Amen.
He's good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. I'm afraid too many tonight have got that done got over it disease. Done got over what God's done for them, what God's doing for them. God help us that we'll not forget. Let's come tonight, if you will, and get a song, song of invitation tonight. I still go back to the fact that I don't want to forget Calvary, and that is a place of unmatched love. And that there are those tonight who have been convinced by Satan that they have no hope, that there's no reason to go on, that they've done been too wicked, too mean for God to save them. Let me remind you that the Word of God said that the devil's a liar and the father of it.
Amen.
I tell you, the blood is enough. The blood is sufficient. The blood will cleanse you from all sin and all unrighteousness. The blood can give you that hope. Thank God. Let God show you that He loves you tonight. For you tonight that are saved, don't forget where God brought you from. Think about what God brought you out of, so that you can glorify God tonight.
Amen.
Think about where God brought you from. Think about these things.
Yes.
Don't forget Calvary. Don't forget. Don't forget. Sometimes we need little gentle reminders, and sometimes we just need God to pick us up and shake us to remind us what He's done, how good that He has been. I hope you'll come tonight. I hope you'll obey the Lord. Why don't you come right now? Come right now. Folks will pray with you. Folks will meet with you. I assure you that if you'll come, God will meet with you tonight.